Amazing grace, experiencing the power of God's amazing grace. I wanted to fashion this whole message around that beautiful song, Amazing Grace, but I got nothing. Matter of fact, this morning I want to start with a confession. I see that pain. It's all right. It's all right. We love kids in here. It's a good thing. We love families. But my confession for you this morning is I have nothing to say. I have nothing to preach about. I have nothing to present you as a sermon, and I have nothing for you to remember. I have nothing for you to take home with you, and I have nothing to challenge you with. I have nothing with which to impress you. Today, I have a sermon about nothing. Sometimes something is nothing, at other times nothing is really something. And sometimes we know nothing about something. Today, it's important that we know something about nothing. So here goes nothing. Would you pray with me? You don't have to say this prayer out loud, but I'd ask that you just give this prayer silently to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I am willing to listen. God, my prayer this morning is that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about nothing this morning. The Bible has a lot to say about nothing. Nothing appears 342 times in the Bible. Nothing appears 229 times in the Old Testament, and nothing appears 113 times in the New Testament. Today we're going to talk about nothing. Some of you were nervous when I was telling you I have nothing to preach about. We're preaching about nothing this morning. Some of you were scared. Yesterday my son asked me, Dad, what are you preaching about? I said, Josh, I got nothing. He's like, Dad, it's tomorrow. I said, I'm preaching about nothing. He goes, Dad, you better get working on it. And I said, son, I'm preaching about nothing. He goes, wait a second, you're up to something. Nothing is in the Bible quite a bit. Merriam-Webster's definition in the dictionary defines nothing as something that does not exist, the absence of all magnitude or quantity. So this morning, we're going to look at the importance of nothing, and hopefully you take home everything. Just a few points this morning. Number one, God created the world from nothing. Genesis 1:1, the Bible starts with the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What you need to know is that there was nothing. You're saying, wait, what about God? Yeah, God's something, but there was nothing other than God. Well, how could it be then? What did he use to create? Well, that's God. God is the only one who can take nothing and make something from it. Matter of fact, there was a scientist once that got angry at God and challenged God and said, God, I could create humanity just as good as you did. And God says, fine, go ahead and do it. So the scientist started gathering some dirt and God said, hey, wait a minute, make your own dirt. You see, God created everything out of nothing. It might be hard to put your head around that, and honestly, if you don't believe the first book of the Bible, first words of the Bible, you're going to have a hard time with the rest of it. Jeff's here. Where did Jeff go? Jeff, I always look to you as my scientist. I don't know if you know this kind of science, but I do believe that Genesis 1:1 is true. But in Genesis 1:1, in that one verse to start the Bible, we get five elements of science, which is amazing. I don't know if these are the five elements of science for sure because I'm not a scientist. I just drank a lot of coffee this morning. Science requires time. We have in the beginning. Science is going to require force. We have God. Science requires energy. We have created. Science requires space, the heavens, and science requires matter, the earth. Are these the five elements of science? And in one verse, in the first verses of the Bible, God declares he made something from nothing. Everybody say nothing. Do you believe it? We move on from that, and what I want you to know about nothing today, and by the way, if you're taking notes, just write nothing down. You'll know where I'm at if you're taking notes. The second point today is there's nothing wrong with God. There is no sin in God. The Bible tells us in Revelation 15, verse 4, part A, it says, "Who will not fear you, Lord, or bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy." That word holy means that there is no sin in God. Absolute perfection and purity. God created from nothing. Everybody say nothing. And there is nothing sinful in God. Everybody say nothing. We're already learning a lot about nothing this morning. A lot of people want to ascribe evil to God, and it's just not true. God is not evil. God is perfection, holiness. That's why no sin can enter into heaven. There's no sin going to enter his presence. On Friday, we had a Good Friday service, and we talked about the moment on the cross where Jesus said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me? Because God cannot look on sin. No sin is going to be allowed into heaven. So you must know that God created from nothing, and there's nothing sinful about God. Matter of fact, 1 John 4:8 tells us, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now that's something. God is love. Here at Oakwood, we have a definition of love. Love is the selfless, willing sacrifice for the good of another person, even when they don't deserve it, not expecting anything in return. That is our God. Selfless, willing sacrifice for the good of us, even though we don't deserve it. Right, Zeke? We're not perfect. We're never going to be sinless. We're just presented sinless before a holy God someday, which is amazing. Nothing is wrong in God. However, nothing is sinless about me. Hopefully you're reading the point, so I'm not pointing at you, but you should be reading it first person. Nothing is sinless about me. The Bible makes that clear in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I've been teaching people at Oakwood for 10 years now. Help us, Oakwood. All means all, and that's all. Amen. So if you're sitting here today saying, "I'm not an all," you're an all. Look to the person to your right and left, say, "You're an all." Look back at them and say, "I'm an all." For all have sinned. There's nobody that can claim perfection. Never once had a wicked, devious thought. Never once said a hurtful, harmful thing. Never once acted out in lust or desiring. We're sinners by choice. The Bible makes that clear. No one can escape this. There's nothing holy about me. Everybody say nothing. There's nothing holy about me on my own. I'm the opposite of God. God is absolute perfection and holiness. I am a sinner. I can do nothing and be lost. Some of you are like, "I didn't do nothing." Well, your nothing means you're lost. You started that way. You chose to sin, but let's be honest. The Bible also makes a case for everybody who is born a sinner. You're born with a sin problem. It was your mom and dad's fault. And it was grandma and grandpa's fault and great-grandma and grandpa and on and on and on and on. It goes all the way back to Adam. When Adam and Eve chose to sin, from then on, everyone coming from the seed of man has a sin problem. Again, I've shared this with you before. I've been able to be at my child's birth, and all three of my children were born. And as a pastor, it's awful because you're a theologian. At the same time, you're a new dad. And I remember Caitlin being born, and I was so excited. And she came out, and I'm counting noses and toeses and making sure it's all there. And then I see her, and I almost said the word, "She's perfect." But my theologian in me stopped me and said, "Oh, no. I just gave birth to a little sinner. And I know she is because she got it from me." Now later on, she chose herself to be a sinner. She is sinner by birth and by action. We all are. I can do nothing and be lost. Matter of fact, by continuing to do nothing, I will remain lost. Everybody say nothing. You see, nothing's very important this morning. I want you to leave with nothing on your mind. I want you to take nothing home and really think about it today. Because I can do nothing and be lost, and by continuing to do nothing, I'll still be lost. Well, what's the hope for me then? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. Amen? Everybody say nothing. Just like His Father, He is pure, He is sinless, He is holy. The Bible tells us that in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." I can't get over the fact that so many people today, like, Jesus was a good guy and a great teacher, we should follow His teaching, but He wasn't God's Son. The Bible does not give us that. The Bible doesn't allow anyone to take that position, because the Bible clearly asserts that all the deity, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is God's Son. He claimed to be God's Son. If He's such a good teacher and He lied about this, then He can't be a good teacher. The Bible, when Jesus was talking, He said, "And you know the Father, you have seen Him because you've seen Me. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen Me." I don't know how else He could make it clear. Jesus is God's Son. And nothing less. Everybody say nothing. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." See, there is nothing sinful in Jesus. He is holy and pure, just like His Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No sin. Again, that's why there's no sin going to be allowed into heaven. So many people play the game. If I show up and my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and they play this game, they kind of, how did I do today? Do I need to do better tomorrow? I mean, how would you live like that, not knowing for sure? And God said, don't play that game. We're talking about sinlessness, absolute perfection, holiness. We all have lost that bet. And I can tell you for sure, there is nothing you can do to fix that on your own. There's not enough good things you can do to hopefully equal that out and then go to heaven going, "Oh, I hope. No, no. God gave us so much better than that. Philippians 2, 7 through 9, it says, "Rather, He made Himself nothing." Everyone say nothing. Jesus made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Exclamation point there. "Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name." See, it's a beautiful story we're telling you today. It's a story about nothing. That the Son of Heaven came down and made Himself nothing and went to this cross with nothing sinful about Him to pay for sin. That's an amazing truth. Nothing can defeat Jesus. I'm glad we don't go home on Good Friday and just call it a weekend. We felt really bad about what happened to a good man. No, that's not the end of the story. We come back on Sunday. On Friday, we celebrate the fact that God sent His Son who died for us, shed His blood to forgive us of our sins. But nothing can defeat Jesus. Everybody say nothing. Romans 8:34, it says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Now that's nothing. The Prince of Heaven came, made Himself nothing, went with nothing sinful to the cross, and yet became sin for us. And He paid the penalty of that sin for us. Matthew 28:2-5. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. We're here this morning to celebrate an empty tomb. The best part of the Easter story is there was nothing there. Can you all see this board? I'm going to be in the way a little bit, sorry. I saw this online this week and I thought, this is perfect. Can you all see it over there? Can you all see it over there? It's an interesting word, empty. I want you to pronounce it with me. Everybody say empty. We can take the E away. Now I want you to pronounce it with me. Empty. Are you with me? What I love about this word is we can take this away, and then I want you to pronounce it with me. Empty. You with me? You know, you can even take the middle out of this word. And now I want you to pronounce it with me. Everybody? Empty. What's so amazing about this is you can even take these two away, and what are we left with? It's empty. See, I tell you what, I got nothing to preach about to you today, and it's awesome. Because we as believers are pretty excited about nothing. There's an empty tomb. Our Savior lives. The emptiness, the nothingness is what we are excited about. He wasn't just a martyred Savior. He is a risen Savior. This morning, nothing means everything. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, this is just good news today. There is nothing victorious over Jesus. Amen? He rose victorious over death and sin. When Jesus went to the cross and He became your sin and my sin, He died for us. He spent 3 days in the tomb, and God rose Him again from the dead, and He defeated death and sin. I hope that doesn't mean nothing to you. What do I got to do? That's always the question. What do I got to do? Well, there's just nothing. Everybody say nothing. There is nothing you can do. It's what was done for you. I can do nothing to earn salvation. You've heard me say that so many people around the world are playing this game, my good deeds, my bad deeds, my sinfulness, my righteousness, and it's a game that you'll never win because you can bring all of your good days and they amount to nothing. Everybody say nothing. You've got nothing. It's a good thing that Jesus became nothing. Made a nothing empty tomb for you and for me. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, we're studying Acts 2. If you don't have a church home, come join us. But in Acts 2, verse 38, we did this last week. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What a beautiful verse. People get this one messed up because it says repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, but you don't have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. In the New Testament, believers believed and were saved, and then they were baptized pretty quickly. The baptism doesn't save you. I want to make that clear today. There's nothing you can do. You can't get wet enough to get to heaven. You can't do good enough to get to heaven. Nothing but repentance will turn my sinfulness to righteousness. The Bible says I've got nothing of purity on my own. I've got nothing of righteousness on my own. So God did an incredible loving thing. Remember love? Selfless, willing sacrifice for the good of another person, even when they don't deserve it, not expecting anything in return. It's a good thing, God, because I've got nothing to give. I can't fix this. You can't fix this. Repentance. The Bible makes it clear that we repent of our sins. Repentance doesn't mean saying, "I'm sorry." It doesn't mean you don't go to God and say, "Oopsie." You know, We go to God and say, I realize that I'm a sinner from birth and by my own actions. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my life as Savior and Lord. Then the Bible says immediately by faith, that faith is what saves you. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says it clearly. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Nothing but faith is required. Everybody say nothing. I know we all want to do something. We all want to do something. Oh, God, I got to do something to make right what I've done wrong. No, there's nothing you can do to make this right. The Bible makes it very clear. It's by grace you're saved through faith. Have you put your faith in God? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Good works will get you nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Whoopsie. And nothing but God's grace is needed. Say nothing. This is where we get to the song finally. Team, go ahead and make your way up here. Amazing grace. It was 1773. And a preacher was getting ready to preach the New Year's Day sermon. He wanted to preach a sermon that would express his amazement at God's grace. See, this man was a former slave owner and a really good sinner. He was good at it. Vile, wicked, brawling, all the things. But God saved him. And he could never get over that. The fact that a former slave owner and a brawler and a fighter, a womanizer and just a wicked man, that God would save him. Not by anything that he did, but by simply God's grace alone. And so John Newton wrote a song to go along with his New Year's Day message. It's a beautiful song. But it's not about mercy. Mercy's not getting what you do deserve. We get these mixed up quite a bit. How many of you have ever got pulled over by a police officer for speeding, and you know you're speeding? Me and one other person. And oh, thank you. Okay. All right. And a police officer comes and says, hey, listen, you were speeding. I got you on the radar. But I'm not going to give you a ticket. What is that called? Good answer. Some people say that's grace. That's not grace. That's mercy. See, you did not get what you do deserve. If you get pulled over for a speeding ticket and you're caught red-handed and he got evidence, you deserve a ticket. And if the officer says, I'm not going to give you a ticket, that's simply mercy. Do you know what grace is? Grace is the officer comes up and says, get out of your car. Because I'm giving you a brand new car, and I'm going to wash it every day next week, and I'm going to polish it, and I'm going to take this car and you, and I'm going to take you to a new mansion I bought you, because I'm giving you everything that you don't deserve. Now that's grace. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. So let's not get it wrong. God showed His mercy by sending His Son. He gives us grace by allowing us salvation. We have nothing, and God simply gives us everything. Did you learn nothing today? I hope you take nothing home. I preached you a sermon about nothing, but man, is it something. Grace is God's unmerited favor and benevolent assistance. Grace is a free gift that cannot be earned, only received. The only thing left, I could say there's nothing left, but maybe there's one thing left. Have you received it? Are you done playing the games of, am I good enough? Are you done playing the games that I'm a little better than so-and-so? Are you done playing the games I go and take the sacrament and I've been in the water? Are you done playing the games? None of that. None of that. Nothing can get you to heaven apart from the grace of God. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift. Gifts aren't earned. Gifts are simply received. If you're here today and you've never received it, and you feel the Spirit tugging at your heart today saying, I need to receive this, I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody in the room, go ahead and start playing the next song. I hope I don't throw you off, but go ahead and do that. We hear those notes and we know immediately the song, Amazing Grace. It's a beautiful thing. That's why John Newton couldn't help himself. He wanted to enhance his sermon with a song. And oh, we've been blessed by the song. And it's true. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes. Yes, a wretch. We're all sinners. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to receive salvation by faith? You're saying, I need this today. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Just raise your hand where you're at and say, pray for me, Pastor. Yes. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? Yes. By faith. You can receive Him today. Just ask Him to forgive your sins, come into your life as your Savior and Lord, and by grace you'll be saved through faith. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray a blessing on those who received You this morning. God, do a work in their lives now. God, I pray that they would follow in obedience of baptism, showing the world that they're with Jesus now, raised to a new life. Thank You for this sermon about nothing. I pray, God, that we would get it and we would receive from You the greatest thing of all time, the grace, the free gift of salvation. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.